We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
All right, I told you Monday, it's going to be Friday before you know it, and here we are, Friday afternoon. Partly cloudy, and it is warm and warming up over the weekend, but really very, very slight, if any, chance of rain. It's going to be a great weekend for Jazz Fest and the Zurich Classic. We have got a lot to talk about today. We're going to keep it as light and as fun as possible, but we have a few things to cover early in the show. And some of it is a result of something that came up on the show yesterday, and I do want to cover it this afternoon. All right, you ready to crank it up? It is Friday. It's going to be a great weekend. I hope you've got plans to go out and have fun. Right now, reach over there and crank it up, because this is what you have been working for. And there are a lot of people in town. You can tell. And, you know, it's interesting coming to the station. And you can tell by the way people are dressed. You can tell that, okay, these people are headed to Jazz Fest. You know, it's just, it's kind of the loose-fitting shirt. It's the loose-fitting shorts. It's the big oversized hat to make sure that no sun hits the face. It's just a certain attire is an indication that you're heading to Jazz Fest. All right, the Jazz Fest password of the day is Pero, P-E-E-R-O-W, Pero.
Would you stop it?
Okay, wait.
You know, we work hard on writing that copy for wait. You to go in and purposefully.
That's not how you spell.
That's not how you spell Pero.
Pero. That's the way I always spell P-E-E-R-O-W. All right, it's P-I-R-O-G-U-E. Jeez. It is French. Piro. P-I-R-O-G-U-E. All right, take the password Piro to our website right now, WWL.com, and register to win two tickets to Jazz Fest next weekend with Foo Fighters, Neil Young, Bonnie Raitt, Queen Latifah, Hozier, Greta Van Fleet, Trombone Shorty, and more. And you also get a round-trip pass on the Jazz Fest Express Shuttle, which is a great way to get there. They'll take you right into the infield. And even if you don't win, you know, parking downtown and taking the Jazz Fest Express Shuttle, you can Google it and find out where they pick up. It really is a very stress-free way to get to the fest. And then everybody gets on at the end, and everybody's all sweaty. And, oh, it's just such a fun trip back to the car. No, it really is a great way to go to and from Jazz Fest. All right, so this is from Miller Lite, the official beer of Jazz Fest and WWL. So take Piro to our website, WWL.com/contest with an S, and register to win your tickets for next weekend. All right, so Jazz Fest 2024 continues. Did you go yesterday? Last year was, I think, the first year that was cash free, and it was a nightmare. What about this year? Did you go yesterday? Was it better? Were the lines better? Because people last year were confused about the tipping, and again, it was just a nightmare last year, the first year that it was cashless. So if you went yesterday, I'd love to talk to you. You could either call us or send us a text and let us know how it was. The Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. 870. Let us know how it was. Second round of the Zurich Classic is today, and you've heard the forecast. It's going to be windy, very gusty winds, up to maybe 30, 35 miles an hour on Sunday, the final round. So I would think, I'm not a golfer, but I know a little bit about it, I guess. I would think that this would lead to higher scores because of the wind, and the players are going to have to contend with that. Yesterday on the show, somebody called and blamed inflation on President Biden. And it's free for all Friday, so, you know, we're going to have fun on the show today. But you know, I do want to address this. So is President Biden, is he to blame for inflation? It came up on the show yesterday, and I made a comment about how it's really not fair to blame a president or to give a president credit for either high inflation or low inflation. So we'll get into that a little bit this afternoon. Also, President Biden has announced on Howard Stern's show that he's willing to debate Donald Trump. I would love to see that. I don't think it's going to be that great for Joe Biden, Donald Trump has a lot more energy. And, you know, Joe has made some mistakes, even when it's written down. 4 more years. Pause. No, Joe, don't say that part. So I'm worried about Joe Biden in a debate against Donald Trump. And I don't know if it's best for him. I'm sure Donald Trump wants to debate Joe Biden because he feels like he could win. But Joe Biden could hit Donald Trump with a lot of factual things that might cause Donald Trump to trip up a little bit. The problem with debating Donald Trump is he's not going to follow the rules. He's a bully. He's a big mouth. And he's simply not going to follow the rules. So that's a problem. And I wouldn't want to debate a guy that doesn't follow the rules. And you can tell him what the rules are, and he can say, yeah, I'm going to follow the rules, but he won't. So we'll have to see how that goes, if indeed it does happen. You know, last year, Saints fans had a lot of criticism of NFL officials. And it just seems like NFL officials, if they're going to give the benefit of the doubt to a player in a situation, it ain't going to be the Saints player. And it just seems like there's just overall prejudice against the Saints when it comes to officiating. And I'm not a crybaby, and I'm not looking to be a victim, and I'm not saying, oh, poor us, you know, we're New Orleans, poor us. No, I'm not that kind of guy. But I do think the NFL officiating has been negative toward the Saints for many years. And also, I've watched some of the NBA games. I watched the game between the Pelicans and the Lakers, and if LeBron James, if somebody got close to LeBron James and breathed on him, they called a foul. And that doesn't seem fair. Ironically, LeBron James is now speaking out about officiating in the NBA. So from the NFL to the NBA to Major League Baseball, there's a lot of condemnation recently of officials. And in some cases, fans are criticizing the officials for changing the outcome of games. And that should not happen, but it does. So I think all sports should do a better job to hold accountable officials that make calls that are obviously wrong. And there doesn't seem to be any accountability. And fans don't get a sense that these officials are really punished and held accountable for mistakes that they make. If I make a mistake in my job, I'm held accountable. If you make a mistake in your job, you're held accountable. So why shouldn't the officials be held accountable? I mean, why are they up on this pedestal, these godlike creatures that can do no wrong? It's hurting sports. And fans are really starting to pick up on it. And the criticism is really increasing at a very rapid rate. So we'll touch on that a little bit later. What do you think is the number one fast food chain in America? Well, there's a new analysis that has been released of fast food chains in America. We'll tell you who's number one, and then we'll ask you, who do you think is number one? Which fast food restaurant is number one to you? And Gwyneth Paltrow and her husband fight about one thing. One thing. And I wonder if you and your spouse or partner fight about the same thing. We'll talk a little bit about that later on. And nothing like talking about, you know, what couples might fight about heading into the weekend. So, you know, who knows? It might spark a fight. I would hope not. But I would hope that if you do argue, that it would remind you that you're not alone. Ian Hoke is our senior studio producer, and he's in the studio this afternoon. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, too, as well.
Listen, I want to ask you how opening night went.
Oh,
Ian Hoke is in a play at La Petite Theater, and it is Born with Teeth.
Correct.
Which is a scary damn thought to see some child just born with teeth.
Yeah.
How did it go?
It went great. So, and I've actually been using incorrect language about this. Last night was preview night. So it's a full dress rehearsal, but there was an audience there. We didn't. Oh, jeez. Ooh, you okay, buddy?
The tea went down the wrong way.
Okay.
Okay. I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
All right. Okay. I'm going to have my tea here in a second. I hope I fare better than you did. Last night was preview night. So it's our final dress rehearsal. And there were tickets sold, and the people there just loved it. It's so good to finally get the show up in front of an audience. You know, when you do a comedy show, and the only people that are laughing at you for weeks and weeks are the stage manager and maybe the director, if you're lucky, to suddenly be able to do those same bits and jokes in front of a live audience, you know, that's reacting to every move and every little joke and bit and just, you know, falling in love with the language and watching you. do your thing. It's just an amazing feeling. I'm just so glad to be back on stage. I took a long break. You know, the pandemic really screwed up live theater in a lot of different ways.
Well, and you had a couple of other things going on in your life.
I surely did. Yeah.
That were not your fault. You just had to deal with a few things.
Yeah, I don't know what it would have been like for me to be on stage this time last year. I think I would have struggled to do the job well. But anyway, all that is to say, yeah, the play is officially opening tonight. Scoot is going to be there. A bunch of people I know are coming tonight and tomorrow night. We have a matinee on Sunday. You can get tickets at lepetitetheater.com. That's L-E, petite, and then theater, spelled with an R-E at the end of it. You can also just Google Le Petit Theater.
Yeah, you got to do that, fancy, artsy, esoteric way of spelling theater.
Theatre. Right, exactly. So, yeah, I can't wait to do opening night tonight and then to just run the play for 3 weeks with one of my best friends, Dylan Hunter, is the only other actor in the play with me, and that's really special to get to do a two-person play with somebody that's close to you that you love and you trust and you've been performing with for, 15 years. Yeah. I mean, that doesn't get any better than that.
You know, spelling theater that way, T-H-E-A-T-R-E.
Right.
I think it's the Metairie Center in Metairie, and when you're on the I-10 driving into the city, driving east into the city, Metairie Center, I think center is spelled C-E-N-T-R-E.
T-R-E, yeah. I don't know why we do R-R-E on center. I know, like, if I'm going to the theater, that's E-R. But if you say I'm a fan of the theater, then that's R-E. Like, the theater refers to the facility, E-R. But the art form is R-E, I think. Yeah. But I don't know what the excuse for center is.
Interesting.
Is it? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
I did want to do real quickly. I had my dad is in town, and he and I went out to brunch this morning at the Ruby Slipper. And the Ruby Slipper is a little brunch outfit. They got locations on Canal Street and in the CBD and in Mid-City and all over the place in the Marigny. And I haven't been there in a couple of years. And let me tell you, man, that menu is unhinged. I could not believe the depth and breadth, to borrow a phrase from Newell Normand, of that brunch menu. I mean, there was just so much stuff on there that looked so good and sounded so delicious that we really struggled to pick out what we were going to eat. I eventually settled on the trifecta, which is three eggs Benedict, one with tomato and shrimp, one with fried chicken, and one with pulled pork. And that was delicious. And just giving them a free spot here. If you haven't been to the Ruby Slipper in a couple of years, go check it out.
It's a real success story.
It really is.
I mean, it's a great success story. And the people who have put that together, they've made the right decisions. They've moved at the right time. They didn't try to get too big too soon. And they just, anyway, Ruby Slipper, it's a great breakfast place. And you can even have brunch there a little bit later as well. And it's really a good place. Hey, what about the Saints draft? What about the draft last night? I found myself watching a lot of that.
I like it.
Oh, my God. Did you see how many people were there in Detroit? I think they estimated the crowd 275,000.
That's nuts.
I mean,
really?
It was like Woodstock.
Wow.
Google a picture. I know you were busy with a play last night.
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
But if you were watching that last night, I'm sure you got the impression that I got that. I mean, the crowd was just, it was massive. I mean, people just crammed in, but it was so huge. It was amazing.
Yeah, Detroit Free Press says, yep, 275,000 fans in attendance, all-time NFL draft record.
That is a lot of people.
Good Lord.
That's a lot of people. And the Saints made their selection. They picked number 14, I think, and they selected a tackle from Oregon State. Let's see if I get his name right. Taliese Fuaga.
Yes, I think that's right. Yep.
Taliese Fuaga.
Fuaga.
So this guy is like this superstar at tackle. And I know this isn't one of those sexy picks. You know, it's not like a running back or a quarterback or a wide receiver. But let me tell you, the quarterback, the wide receiver, the running back, they all need a good offensive line. So if we've got a good tackle, this is a major, major step forward for the Saints. And I'm sure Derek Carr is very happy about that. And what about the Atlanta Falcons? This was the surprise. I don't know whether you heard this, but the Atlanta Falcons just paid a ton of money to Kirk Cousins to come from the Vikings. So he's the starting quarterback, you would think, for the Falcons. And the Falcons select in the draft Michael Penix from Oregon,
one
of the top quarterbacks. So I mean, are they going to keep him on the side? Are they just going to wait for him to have a turn under Kirk Cousins? I don't know, but that was a big surprise last night. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, it is Free for All Friday. Let's do a couple of texts before we get into the show. But the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870.
I'll be speedy here. Oscar on the North Shore says, you're absolutely right about the NFL and NBA officials. They have too much power, and they should be held accountable when they're blatantly wrong. Maybe giving refs fines could help solve the problem.
Well, fines if you're an official that continues to make mistakes, you get fired.
Fire them.
You know? You're just not. It is amazing how blatant these mistakes are, even with replay, and they're determining the outcome of games. It's clearly unfair, and there are superstars in all sports, and they get preferential treatment, and that's simply not fair. If you're going to call fouls, you've got to call them fairly. But unfortunately, officials are human beings, and I think quite often they get caught up in the moment of a home team coming back, and all of a sudden the calls are going in favor of the home team that's making a comeback, because I think as human beings the officials get caught up in the moment.
Frank in Long Island is listening today and says, you just told us what Joe just said, that he's going to debate against Trump. Why do you just leave it at that? Instead of throwing in a dig that Donald Trump's not going to follow the rules, it doesn't bother me because I understand where you're coming from, LOL. But I could see how other people would be disturbed by that. Just a thought, buddy. Still love you.
Hey, it's okay, but Donald Trump's not going to follow the rules. I mean, he didn't in the debates before, and he's not going to follow the rules, and he's not a rule follower, and he's breaking the gag order. And so, of course he's not going to. I mean, if they say your time is up, Donald Trump's going to keep talking. He's not the only one. A lot of them do that. But when I've seen Donald Trump debate, he blatantly breaks the rules, and it's an accurate observation.
I know it's fun to watch, but I don't think you can call what Donald Trump does on that stage debating, really. If you've ever been to an actual debate competition, or if you took debate in high school, or if you've ever taught speech and debate, that's not what he's doing. He's not only not following the rules, he's not even playing the same game. Like, he's just there to push people around and make noise and insult him and be the center of attention. And we can all kind of sit back and laugh and enjoy that because it is entertaining sometimes. But it's not debate.
Yep. No, it's true. Not. Well, none of the presidential debates are really debate based on like a college debate structure.
That's a great broader point. What we've seen out of the presidential and primary debates in the last several cycles is,
question and answer.
Yeah. Just give me a straight up answer.
Yeah,
you know, but they can't do it. And then, of course, the moderators, if they're too strict, then they get chewed out. Then they're suddenly the story the next day. Oh well, such and such was too hard on them. No, their job is to get them answer the questions. And if they don't do it and they get pushback, then the public gets mad at them. That doesn't seem right.
People just need to have the courage in the media to just stand up and be who they are. Because a lot of people are worried about the criticism. And if you're forcing the candidates in a debate to follow the rules, then you force them to follow the rules. And if people criticize that, too bad. I think what they should do is when it gets to a certain point, I think they should just shut off the candidate's mic.
Yeah.
I mean, just totally shut off the mic.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. I'll leave you with this one. Dan in Bywater says, in regard to the Ruby Slipper, when spelled as S-L-I-P-P-R-E, it refers to the ones you drink out of in fancy short stories.
If you want to join us, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-187. Free for All Friday. They performed last night at Tipitina's, and they're on stage today at 5:30, Jazz Fest, The Killers. I'm Scoot on the air, and we'll be back on WWL. Man, imagine how your life is going if somebody told you you had a boyfriend that looked like a girlfriend that I had in February of last year.
Yikes.
Things aren't going so well.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Very sad to report today that the co-founder and keyboard player for the Moody Blues, Mike Pender, has passed away. He was 82 years old, and You know, you look back on the music of the 70s and some of the drive and rock of the 70s, and I've talked to John Lodge about this a few times on the show. There was something really special about the Moody Blues. They were one of the more cerebral, esoteric bands. They did music with the London Philharmonic Orchestra, and there was not there were not a lot of rock groups that's music that was appropriate for pairing it with the London Philharmonic, and the Moody Blues were an example of that. But again, really intelligent, progressive rock. I mean, they were kind of on the borderline of progressive rock, but a great band from the 70s. And John Lodge is still performing today, but sorry to hear that Mike Fender has passed away. I'm Scoot on the air. It is a free-for-all Friday. Let's go to New Orleans. And Rick, welcome to the show. Hey, Rick.
Hello. Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Rick. Good.
Hey, you were talking about the umpires and stuff before, and I think I heard a great idea yesterday. In baseball, they need to measure them and grade them and take the top or the bottom 10% and relegate them to the minor leagues.
Yeah.
And if they do that, what will happen is the older umpires who have been getting big bucks and think they're untouchable might quit. We'll get some new blood.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. In fact, there's a major league player who mentioned that the other day. He talked about, let's send him to the minors like we do with players. And I think that is a great idea. And I think every sport, in particular the NFL, the NBA, and Major League Baseball, I don't know that much about the officiating in hockey. I mean, I watch hockey, but I don't watch it as closely as these other sports. And it seems like the officials just get away with it. And they obviously make bad calls, and it doesn't appear as if to the fans that they're being held accountable, and I think they should be held accountable.
Well, it's what bothers me is like guys like Angel Hernandez, year after year after year, dozens and dozens of calls that he misses and just makes mistakes, and he's overturned nonstop. It's like, yeah. Why can't they do it? He filed suit against them a few years ago, and I think that's what's stopping him.
Well, it's a shame, Rick, because it's impacting the sport, and fans are noticing it more and more. All right, Donald Trump can't seem to stop violating his gag order in the porn star hush money cover-up case. I mean, just the title of the case says a lot, the porn star hush money cover-up case. So now there's going to be a hearing next week to decide what to do about it, and sending him to jail might be one option.
Judge Juan Merchan moved a hearing on the former president's alleged gag order violations to next Thursday, avoiding a conflict with Trump's scheduled campaign events next Wednesday. Merchan had initially set the hearing for next Wednesday, the trial's regular day off. Trump is scheduled to hold two campaign events that day. The hearing pertains to a prosecution request that Trump be penalized for violating his gag order this week on four separate occasions. The order bars Trump from making comments about witnesses and others connected to the case. Merchan is already deciding whether to hold Trump in contempt for previous alleged gag order violations. I'm Norman Hall.
David Pecker was on the stand again today, friend of Trump, and he was the head of the National Enquirer. He says he spent 2015-2016 running interference for the Trump campaign.
At former President Donald Trump's hush money trial in New York, a former tabloid publisher testified he scooped up possibly damaging stories to shield his old friend. David Pecker says he paid out tens of thousands of dollars to keep those stories from the public eye. But when it came to the steamy claims by porn performer Stormy Daniels, Pecker said he put his foot down. The testimony is a critical building block for the prosecution's theory the Trump-Pecker partnership was a way to illegally influence the 2016 presidential election. Once the session wrapped up, Donald Trump said,
"Today was breathtaking. In this room, you saw what went on. It was breathtaking. And amazing testimony."
Stormy Daniels was eventually paid by then Trump attorney and fixer Michael Cohen to keep quiet over her claim of a 2006 sexual encounter with Trump. The former president denies it happened. I'm Ed Donahue.
You know, this is really it's interesting because there are people, if I say something negative about Donald Trump, which is not it's negative about Donald Trump, but it's true. It's in the news, and it's a negative story about Donald Trump. Conservative radio talk shows don't cover those stories. They just cover the negative things about Biden and attack Biden. And I don't know why providing an alternative and presenting true information that is negative about Donald Trump is somehow un-American or somehow doesn't seem like it's appropriate. There were media outlets, Fox News also, but the National Enquirer, I mean, some people, I guess, believe some of those stories, but there were media outlets that were doing all they can to use their platform to get Trump elected. And there were some liberal media outlets that were doing all they can to get Biden elected. And it seems like no matter how much the media tries, you know, sometimes a Republican wins and sometimes a Democrat wins. So the media is not so powerful as to always be able to determine the outcome of elections. All right, let's get to some of the protests that are happening. I just want to cover this today. We'll have more on this next week on the show. Pro-Palestinian protesters are now spreading, and this is going further than American campuses. A Pakistani-born Harvard student explains why demonstrating is going on against his university.
Harvard remains materially and morally complicit in the genocide of Palestinians, which is why we continually see protests happening. We see student repression happening out of those protests. And we see continually people like ourselves, organizers with the cause, trying to create a sense of community around the fact that we are people that are campaigning for a particular cause, and that cause being the cause of the Palestinians.
And here's a Jewish Harvard student who says he can't help but feel like he's a target.
Anybody who supported the October 7th Hamas attack sort of needs to rethink their decisions and sort of come back to together a collective humanity. Of course, there's a long history. Of course, you know, there can be valid criticism of Israel. At the same time, you want to make sure what you're saying specifically is not offensive and hurtful to Jewish students.
You know, I was talking this week about the protest and how it seems like protests are in the air. And it reminds me of the late 60s and early 70s when protesting was just a popular thing for young people to do. And for some reason, it seems like protesting is in the air. And this was like the perfect thing right now to protest. But I don't think this is going to bring an end to protesting. And I'm wondering if there are going to be some other protests that are going to take place. And it seems like the protests happening now are giving people ideas about protesting. So we'll talk more about this on the show coming up next week. If you want to join us on Free for All Friday, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. All right, tomorrow on the Shell Gentilly stage, Vampire Weekend performs at 5:30. This is a punk Vampire Weekend, an interesting band. I'm Scoot on the air, and we'll be back on WWL. All right, Miss Amanda Shaw is performing at Jazz Fest 2024, and she joins us on WWL. Good afternoon, Miss Amanda.
Hey, Scoot. How's it going?
Good. And you know, the day that I'm going to make it out there is Sunday, and I'm going to be looking forward to seeing
nice.
You.
Well, you know, I mean, look, in my humble opinion, Sunday is going to be the best day. I don't know. Maybe it's because we're going to be there. I don't know.
I think you can make that assumption. Look, you know, one of my most memorable jazz fests is when you went with me and I had been, you know, hit by the motorcycle and had ankle surgery and I was on crutches. And, you know, we walked around the Jazz Fest grounds at the slowest pace ever. But I so thank you for being with me and helping me get around that day. And it was so much fun.
Oh, I always have fun hanging out with you. And you know what? That's what it's all about, you know. It's not necessarily always about
me. Yeah. All right, listen, you're kind of breaking up a little bit there. You're on your way to Monroe, and you got a gig there tonight. And then you're coming back, and you'll be on stage at Jazz Fest on Sunday.
Monroe. I do. Yeah, we're headed there right now. And yeah, we're headed to Jazz Fest on Sunday. You know, this time of year is so busy for a lot of musicians.
Yeah, that's good. Now, it's going to be warm, you know, 5:30. Let's see, you're performing at, don't tell me, you're performing at 2:55 in the afternoon. So, like, the sun's going to be right overhead. This is daylight savings time, so it's really like 1:55. It's going to be hot. When you're picking out an outfit, and look, I've had on a couple of your dresses. We don't need to go into details, but I've had on a few of your dresses, and they're really heavy. So do you pick out special clothing for a warm performance like Jazz Fest?
Well, I think most of my fans know that actually for Jazz Fest, I always get something brand new. So, because, you know, I get a lot of custom costumes for stage for my performances, and I always get something new for Jazz Fest every year. So fans at the show will be able to see what we designed this year for me to wear.
Okay, but it's going to be light on the lighter side.
We definitely picked some materials that would be friendlier to the heat, for sure. That was good. Definitely a part of our conversation.
You know, one thing that says so much about your character, you know, you and I have been friends for a long time, and I know your character, but one thing that really said so much about your character was a couple of years ago when the day that you were to perform, Jazz Fest was rained out. It was totally rained out. And you knew that a lot of fans had come from around the country and even around the world to see you. And you, at the last minute, you and your crew organized a last-minute free show at the Hard Rock Cafe on Bourbon Street. And that was an amazing thing for you to do.
Oh, thank you. You know, that was actually for French Quarter Fest.
But
it was French Quarter Fest. But, you know, it was just so, that was such a special night. That was so fun. And it will live forever in my heart and in my mind and in my memories. Like, that was just such a special, special memory.
Well, Jazz Fest or French Quarter Fest, that's said a lot about your, about your character. You know, you do these festivals all the time, and to some degree, they're routine, but what is something that makes it different every year?
Oh, man. Well, whether it's new songs or, you know, again, it's seeing people, you know, that you haven't seen all year long, those fans that come in every year, it makes it really exciting, and you definitely want to bring fresh and special energy. And this particular year is really special, Scoot, and I think you're going to be excited to hear about this. It's because 20 years ago, this Jazz Fest, 20 years ago was the first year I played on the Fado Do stage, and it was the same year that I'm Not a Bubblegum Pop Princess, my album, came out, and that's the album that I did Should I Stay or Should I Go on. And I wasn't sure. They gave me the very first set on the very first Friday, and I wasn't sure if anybody was going to come see me play. And when I got out there about 2 minutes before my show started at Jazz Fest, again, this was 20 years ago, all of a sudden, all I could see was just tons of people out there. And we played Should I Stay or Should I Go? And I feel like it's just a moment in my mind that I will never forget. And I feel like that was the beginning of just such like a wonderful journey of relationship with my fans, you know, friendship with my fans, like, you know, and that song is something that we've played in our set for a long time. So I wanted to do something really special this year, and I actually did re-records of all the fan favorites from that album. We did brand new versions, adult versions, and we just released it on Spotify and Apple Music and wherever you stream music to celebrate that 20th anniversary.
You know, you were such a young kid performing that it sounds like that was sort of the tipping point when you felt like you were accepted more as a young woman than as a child.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was cool. You know, that's always like being a teenager and, you know, just, I mean, that playing fiddle and then also being into, you know, bands like the Ramones and the Clash, you know, and wanting to bring those worlds together, you know, that's an interesting thing. I feel so grateful that fans for such a long time have embraced my musical taste, my musical adventure, and been on this journey with me and grown with me. And I'm so grateful to all those people that have been along for the ride. You know, like I said, the last 20 years has been insane.
Well, it's awesome. Listen, have a great show in Monroe tonight, and Amanda will be on the Shel Gentile stage at 2:55 Sunday afternoon. I will see you then.
That sounds great. Thank you so much. And y'all gear up by listening to my songs on Spotify, and I can't wait to see y'all out there at the fairgrounds on Sunday.
Right. Amanda Shaw. All right. Thanks for being with us. Have a great show.
Bye-bye.
All right. Ian told me, go to Miss Flossie here. This is Miss Flossie in Metairie. Miss Flossie, welcome to the show. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, darling. I am a fan of yours from way back.
How far back?
The Crew of Underwear.
The Crew of Underwear. Did you participate in the Crew of Underwear in your underwear?
You better believe it.
Thank you. I might remember you.
I know you know my son, Robert Orr, from California.
Yes.
You were in the parade with him?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I just celebrated my 94th birthday.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. Good for you. You sound great.
Oh, thank you. And I want to tell you, Honey, I look forward to listen to you and the ex-sheriff every day.
Well, we appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm bedridden, but I enjoy life, and I enjoy you keep up the good work, because without you and the sheriff, I would be a very lonely person.
Well, Miss Lussie, that's about the highest compliment we can be paid in this business, because in all honesty, you know, I know that I'm not curing cancer, and if I can make somebody... If I can make life a little better for somebody going through their day, whether they're just busy on the road traveling or they're in bed, I feel like I've done my job, and it's a tremendous compliment. And I hope you're doing okay, and I know you have a lot of options when it comes to entertainment. And if we are a source of entertainment for you that helps you, then we've done our job.
Well, honey, I'm an ex-substitute teacher. My son was a teacher for 35 years. And I got 250 happy birthdays from my kids from school.
That's amazing. Well, happy belated birthday, Miss Flossie. And you call in anytime. Right. And I love that you were part of the crew of Underwear a long time ago, because that was a fun time.
Yes, it was, Dawn.
All right, Miss Flossie, you take care of yourself.
All right, baby. I love you.
All right. Love you, too. God, it's just so special when somebody like that calls in and let you know that you have an impact on their life. And, you know, if we have an impact on somebody's life like that, then we've done our job.
Somebody cutting up onions in here?
Yeah, I know. It's just so good. And she was part of the crew of Underwear.
That's amazing.
And she was in the parade in her underwear. Yeah, those were crazy times, you know.
And she's 94 years old?
Yeah.
How about that?
All right. All right, if you've got a comment, the Okunor Jewelers talk and text line, 504-260-1870. Today we wish a very happy birthday to Roger Taylor. On the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar, Roger Taylor is 64 years old today. He is the drummer for Duran Duran. And I remember having a conversation with him, and I said, yeah, I was at that 1984 concert, that first big tour that you guys did of America. I was at that concert in 84 in Baton Rouge. And he said, oh, you were the guy who was there. Because, yeah, it was mostly young females. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, we have sad news. This is the day in 1984 that Count Basie, the great jazz pianist and orchestra leader, this is the day that Count Basie passed away. He was 79 years old, and this is Count Basie with Frank Sinatra doing a classic Frank Sinatra song, Fly Me to the Moon. All right, a lot still to come on this Free for All Friday. We'll talk about whether or not President Biden is to blame for inflation, and we'll talk about criticism of sports officiating in the NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball in particular. So a lot more still to come. If you're on hold, stay with us. We'll get to more of your calls and more of your texts coming up. I'm Scoot on the Air on WWL.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.